Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport, also broadcasting on TalkSport 2. I'm John Norman, alongside me, Steve Harmison, looking back at day and night two of the second test match, Ashes test match between Australia and England. And it was one-sided again, I'm afraid to say. And it's very, very difficult to see England getting back into the series or the match, the way things stand. A sense of deja vu with some of the instances that took place at Adelaide. But yeah, look, we'll look back and forward. You're listening to Following On. So if you're listening to the show, you probably know by now, Australia once again declared, this time 473-9 declared. England in reply, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Labuschagne made 103. There was a repeat of Ben Stokes' no ball dismissal. This time, Ollie Robinson erring in length. But thankfully for Robinson, he dismissed Labuschagne the very next over. That was after dropping him as well. Either way, England actually bowled really well in the first session, took three wickets, two of them just before the break, and at 302-5 had dreams, much like they did at the Gabba, that they were going to restrict the damage and still be in the game. Unfortunately, Australia had other ideas. Steve Smith, that man again, 93, and Alex Carey, 51. The two putting on the best part of 90 for the second in the second session, as 385-6 when Smith went. Carey just before the tea break, but then after it, Nisa and Mitchell Starc really weighed in on a very tired-looking England bowling attack. 150 overs bowled. And then, of course, when Australia came out to bowl, fresh and firing, under lights, you know exactly what was to happen. Burns went in Mitchell Starc's second over, edging to second slip. Hamid chipped a mid on, giving Michael Nisa a first at wicket in Test cricket. And really, England thankful when a bit of rain and lightning hit South Australia, the Adelaide region, and they went off early. So where do England go from here? Feeling that we've been here before. England 17-2, Australia 473-9 declared, and you're listening to Following On.
Story of the day.
Well, Harmy, we said it during the first test, there was a feeling, even after 2 days, that we were revisiting some truly dark days for English cricket in Australia. And that's continued, I'm afraid. You know, it was attritional stuff at times on day one and for two sessions on day two. But, you know, there was familiar failings in the field, a lack of dimension with the bowling and overstepping from Robinson, of course, and high quality batting. And then, of course, when England came out to bat, you just knew what was going to happen. And if it wasn't for the weather, I think they probably would have lost another couple. Where on earth do we go from here? I mean, already you're starting to think this series is stretching out for another three tests. But the gulf between the two sides, as things stand, looks insurmountable.
Yeah, it is it's a big gulf, and we can you can look at a whole host of things that you can throw in. Yeah, the preparation stuff that goes with what it takes to go to Australia and be ready for Australia in their own back garden. You can look at, you know, team selection, But unfortunately, the players that have been on show have not been up to it. They've not played to their fuller potential. I thought England bowled brilliantly yesterday. I really did. There was signs this morning of wear and tear in the surface in day two. There was a little bit more movement. And England's bowlers bowled accordingly. They bowled a bit fuller. I don't think it's as simple as saying, right, that, you know, they were in the dressing room last night or this morning, that a kick up the backside and gone out there and got told to bowl fuller. I just thought the conditions suited bowling fuller today, where they had to drag their length back yesterday. And the difference between that and what Australia have got is Australia have got three bowlers of in excess of 135 to one, Mitchell Scott can bowl 150. And that's the difference. Yeah, England's bowlers had to bowl that back of a length because our bowlers don't bowl quick enough to try to trouble the outside edge when you bowl that little bit fuller. The floated half volleys get belted for four. So I think that's what happened yesterday going into this morning. I thought they stuck to the task again well, but unfortunately, you know, the juice has just run out. You know, the engines run out, and the human element of not having enough cricket in their legs before the first test match, I think really showed this morning. I thought Robinson tired. I thought Jimmy and Brody looked as though, you know, into their fourth and fifth spells, like they hadn't bowled competitively for a while. Ben Stokes tired. I felt sorry for Chris Wokes. We mentioned, you know, 4 years ago about his inability to bowl away from home when the pitch is flat and it's not doing a great deal. I think we've seen signs of that at the end there, that was even more evident. But it's not about the bowlers for me. It's about the batsmen scoring enough runs to give the bowlers a chance to be in this test match. And we haven't seen our batters yet, but all of a sudden we're 17 for two on a wicket where Australia have getting over 450. Now, will England get over 450? I very much doubt it. The rain's come just at the right time, or the lightning's come just at the right time, because I agree. I think England could have been four down at the end of play, and that would have been embarrassing. Now Root's still there. There's every chance that Milan and Root can put a partnership together like they did in Brisbane. You know, get the 150 overs fielding out of their legs tonight and come back a little bit fresher in the morning. So there's one ray of sunshine in a dark and dismal 2 days of Ashes test match cricket. The gulf is huge because of home advantage. Gulf is huge because of preparation that comes with it. England, if England were playing at home, I'd have backed England to be, you know, in the same position what Australia are in. But I think in the cold light of day, I think we realised that some of our players and some of our game plans just aren't up to playing away from home. And is it worth criticising too much and too big? No, I don't think it is. I just think we are at a position where this is the limit that we've got as a team. And that limit is not up to the standard of where Australia's limit is at this minute in time in their own back garden.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So what do England do? Because we are repeating the mistakes of 4 years ago, it seems. We're repeating the mistakes of the first test, it seems. You know, going in with two bowlers that were undercooked, and they look undercooked. It's painful. You know, you mentioned Chris Wokes, 1 for 103 from 23 overs. You know, has anything really changed from 4 years ago when he was going at 60, an average of 60, I think? I mean, credit where credit's due. Australia know how to bat in these conditions. And you saw the gear change. They're quite happy to give up 40, 50 runs in the first session. They don't care. They know they can just turn it on in the afternoon session when the bowlers are tired. It's experience as well, isn't it? And then when England come out to bat, it's rabbit in headlights time. One thing I'll say is, though, as you mentioned, this one of the things about day-night cricket is that there's no way that it's basically you play day-night cricket like you would play a four-day game. Like, you know, there's all this talk about four-day cricket. Or teams only being able to bat for, say, 120 overs and then have it being forced to declare. That's the only way four-day cricket would work, OK? There'd just be too many draws otherwise. And in four-day cricket, what you'd see is a team basically accelerating towards the end just to make sure they get as many runs as possible before their over allocation comes to an end. That's what you see here. So Australia would have just carried on batting if it was a day game. They probably would have racked up 600. They certainly wouldn't have upped the ante. They just would have kept going and going and going. And that makes for more interesting cricket. And it's worked for them tonight. You know, they've taken those two wickets. But in a weird way, well, not even a weird way, but it has given an opening to England because it's still a relatively flat pitch. And England are going to have two full sessions in the daytime tomorrow, with Australia having 450 on the board rather than 650. So England are still just about in this. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they can still make this match a contest, especially when you consider that Hazelwood and Cummins aren't playing. You know, it's about getting Richardson and Nasser to that third and fourth spell, and Mitchell Starc, who was expensive in first innings. Although I do feel that Lyon's going to play a part, unfortunately, before I delude everyone into thinking I'm getting too optimistic.
No, you're right. And this weather's come a bit like in Brisbane. It came just at the right time. The unfortunate thing for England in Brisbane, England didn't get a chance to do what Australia have done tonight, which is get a quick burst in and knock over our two opening batsmen. Milan and Root showed at Brisbane in the daytime, even on a wicket which had a little bit in it. Concentration, application, decision-making. If you get that all right, you can build an innings, and England put on 220 for two in that second innings at Brisbane. But I just wonder where the mentality of this side is at this minute in time, where physically and mentally where they are to go back to the well and keep going back to the well, and the same person doing it time after time in our leader in Joe Root. And I agree. Can we get Mitchell Starc going at sixes? Can we get Nisa and Richardson going, you know, into their fourth and fifth spell and see what sort of durability they have got? But when I look at this England side at this minute, you've got Milan, yeah, he batted well up at Brisbane. Yeah, he's vulnerable starting quite a bit. You've got Stokes, who hasn't batted for a while. You've got Pope, who looks as though he's a bit like a cat in a hot tin roof. Where Joss is at this moment in time, I don't know. Well, I do know because I've been there. And I fear where he's at mentally. And I hope he comes out and scores some runs, because we need him. Not only do we need him to score runs, but for Joss, he needs to score runs. But if the wicket's not doing a great deal, and it is going to turn, and it's going to turn, I think, quite sharply, but probably not tomorrow. It'll be the day after when it turns sharply. But Lyon, again, you look, he's got 400 test wickets. You know, this guy's not a duck egg. He's got 400 test wickets. It's going to be difficult if we lose an early wicket tomorrow morning. I think for us, England supporters, to have any chance of optimism. England are going to be none down by lunchtime. And then, as we've seen, not only does the day get easier in that middle session, if you've got two players who are in going into the last session when it is supposed to be at its best for the bowlers who risk a bit, who do try and overpitch and go for the glory balls, if you've got two players in, they can score quickly. So it could work the other way if your application is right and giving yourself the best chance. If all of a sudden you're five down, six down going into tea time, then you get blown away, absolutely blown away, because the second new ball will be due. And then obviously with the tail end that we've got, as we've seen in the test match at Brisbane, you could get blown away. So I think a lot rides tomorrow morning on the two that are in there, just dampening down the enthusiasm of Australia's bowlers.
Was it part of the plan that Joe Root was going to bowl 20 overs?
No, I don't think it was. But I still think the right combination, i.e., I don't think the plan was for Ben Stokes to bowl 25 overs either. But I think the right combination of five seamers was the way to go. The problem we've got in England is we've got, and this is going to be a bit controversial, you've got Broad and Anderson, who we haven't been able to do without from a bowling department for so long. And we still need them. But the problem with that is that Broad now is a number 10, and obviously Jimmy's a number 11. So to fit other bowlers around them two, you've got to find somebody who can bat. We haven't found a spinner that can play good enough test match cricket that can bat at number 8, like during my time, Ashley Giles, and then a little bit later on, somewhere like Graham Swan with Stuart Broad, you know, the former Stuart Broad behind him. So the balance of the side is always going to come in question. How do we get a spinner in the side, especially if our spinner can't bat? So all of a sudden we've got Broad and Anderson at 10, 11, and a spinner at number 9, if that spinner is good enough. That spinner's not good enough to have that role. Plus, you've got a batting unit who you can't just say, right, us six batters will bat, just you catch the ball and pick our four best bowlers, a bit like in the late 90s, with four bowlers of Alan Mullally, Devon Malcolm, Phil Tufnell, if you've got a proper batting unit. We haven't got that. We haven't got the luxury of that. So all of a sudden, Broad and Anderson, they don't complicate matters from a ball point of view. But actually balancing the side to get a spinner in the side, you complicate the matters from a batting point of view, because none of them can bat number 8 if you want a Mark Wood in your side, because we're literally going to have to play four number 10s. That's the conundrum that the England selection panel has got at this minute in time. So the long-winded answer of the not playing a spinner is, the spinner's not good enough in Australian conditions with the ball, and he lengthens our tail with the batting. So I could understand a little bit why they were looking at somebody like Don Bess. But even that, Joe Root is just, you get just as much out of Joe Root bowling 20 overs, apart from putting pressure on his back, in our fourth bowler, i.e. would it be Robinson or Wokes is always going to play. So it was either Robinson or Broad. You get more value out of Robinson or Broad than you would have done out of Leach or Bess. So for me, the combination was right. It was five seamers. The problem they had is they didn't pick the right four seamers to play, because they had to play Mark Wood. And not just saying that because you know what the way I always say it, but we've got Chris Wokes, Stuart Broad, Jimmy Anderson and Ollie Robinson doing a similar type job. And the one that stood out in that middle of the afternoon yesterday was Ben Stokes. If we had another one of them, I'm not sure Australia would have got 473.
No, I agree. The thing is, though, like, why did they even bring Leach? They didn't play him all summer. No. They then bring him to Australia. They play him at the Gabba of all places. And then they drop him for Adelaide.
Yeah.
Are they going to bring him back for Melbourne? I don't think. Oh, well, I mean,
I don't think so.
But they'll bring Wood, they'll bring Wood back because they have to. I don't know what they're going to do with Wokes. I mean, what are they going to do? Because, okay, batting at number 8, but, I mean, he's not going to be saving any test matches batting at 8 anytime soon.
Then do they go to Overton?
Well, that's exactly it. But Overton played 4 years ago as well. You know, what next? Get Tom Curran playing.
Yeah, and they've just sent home. If England are 3-0 down after Boxing Day, you got to look and think, right, where's Mahmood? Where's Parkinson? Where's all these guys? They're on a plane. They've gone back home. So you're stuck with what you've got. Is there any point Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad playing the fourth and fifth test match if England are 3-0 down? Ashes have gone. You know, we said we're not going to make the same mistake we did 4 years ago. Well, we have. It is simple. And it's not hindsight. You know, a lot of us, a lot of people who have played the game, who have been to Australia, who have had their pants pulled down and smacked backside and gone 5-0 in the past, had said before this test series, you know, we can see this happening. That's nothing against ability. I'd understand if we got blown away. But we haven't been blown away. We've met our own wrongdoing. You know, we should have bowled first in Brisbane and nobody can convince me that was the wrong decision. We should have played Mark Wood in this test match. Nobody convinced me that's their wrongdoing. Australia bowled no balls in this test series so far, and England have bowled 19, I think. England have dropped 10 catches and took 2 wickets off no balls. That's their own doing. That's not good batting, good bowling, very skillful stuff from Australia. That's their own doing. And when you do things like that, it puts pressure on players who you think can at maximum effort, ability to get by, just get by on creating everything you need and catching everything you can to have a chance of winning this series. And unfortunately, we're asking Chris Wokes, Stuart Broad, Jimmy Anderson, Ollie Robinson, especially Ollie Robinson and Chris Wokes, who played in the first test match, to go into their fifth and sixth spells 7 days into an Ashes series. It baffles me how we've got to this position from a selection point of view. We can't do anything about the preparation stuff because that's the way it goes. But you can do things about catching cricket balls. You know, you can do things about keeping your feet behind the line. These things make a massive, massive difference in the context of what's happened so far. England are staring down a barrel of losing 5-0. And at this minute in time, what, five and a bit innings into the contest, we have bowled 19 more no balls than them. We've dropped 10 catches more than them. And we took 2 wickets off no balls more than them. And they're playing at home. People will say, oh, they've blown you away. They haven't. We've contributed with the toss, with team selection. We've contributed to our own falling by the wayside.
Moment of the day.
Who was your first test wicket?
Ajay Dagarkar caught Mark Butcher at Trent Bridge in 2002. And everybody will say, oh, brilliant. Butch fielded it slip. That must have been a good delivery. It was caught third man trying to uppercut one off his nose. But in the fish and chip wrapper, it says caught Butcher. So everybody will think, that's a good ball. That must have been dragged him forward, Nick, slip. Well done, Butch. Good catch, low down, diving at Trent Bridge. No, it was caught third man, uppercutting off his nose.
Well, to be honest with you, they'll be thinking actually, who was it who caught? I've got to work.
Mitchell Stark.
That was Mitchell Stark. Oh, yeah. There's no way he's in the slips.
No. It's great for Nisa. It was great. Well, he batted well. He batted well, but it was a poor, poor shot.
It was a poor shot, wasn't it? Very poor shot. I mean, that's not the kind of shot that you expect. Dominic Sibley got out a similar way, actually, a couple of times, didn't he? Just kind of shoveling it to a field station close to the wicket on the leg side. But I mean, look, you couldn't help but smile. I mean, that was quite a reaction. Even the drinks guys came running on. It was a bit like when Brian Lara reached 400 and all the policemen jumped on. It was a bit like that. I mean, that was quite a moment. It's too early to say whether he's going to get another couple like that. I'm sure he will in this test match. But what has concerned me about this series so far is the Aussies have smiled a lot, haven't they? There's been, it's just been the most good-natured Ashes series I can ever remember. Even David Warner's smiling.
They've got a good right to smile because they're not working hard. They're not working that hard to beat us at the minute, this minute in time. Going back to what I said before about all the misgivings that England have had. England are going a long way of beating themselves. And that, you can't, that overseas, you just can't do. And it's horrible to watch. You know, I feel so sorry for everybody involved, from the masseurs to the physios to the coaching staff to the players that aren't playing. I feel sorry for them because I know what it's like. I know what it's going through. It's such a lonely existence and such a lonely place. And Joe can come out and say the boys are in good spirit. We're training hard. You might be, but the feeling is unbelievable when that door closes at nighttime. It is unbelievable. You know, I can sympathise where Rory Burns is at this minute in time. Can imagine what Joss Butler was going through last night in his room. Whether he's got his family there, I think. I can understand what they're going through. And it is heartbreaking. It is painful. And you feel they're the loneliest person in the world. You've got no friends anywhere. You've got nobody to talk to because you don't want to talk to anybody. You just want the whole to gobble you up and, you know, you don't want to end because what happens is the feeling of just sort of so much depression and so much the dark feeling that you have, you've somehow got to get yourself up in the morning to brush your teeth, get in the lift, go downstairs, put a smile on your face, get on the bus, be crack with the lads, go out and then start again and try and hopefully to work hard in the warm-up, in the process, to get yourself in a position to hope that things will change and your luck will change. And that's why I really hope Joss gets runs tomorrow afternoon when he gets the bat in his hand, because if he doesn't, then it just gets kicked down the road a bit and it just gets, the hole gets bigger and Rory's in the same place. And I hope that, I'm sure that all the lads are around him and looking after him, but it'll make no consolation whatsoever. Because trust me, Rory, I know where you're at, know what you're going through, and it's not a very nice place. Not a very nice place. You've just got to make sure that you feel as though you can get out the other side of it. And I did. I didn't run away from it. I did after what happened in Brisbane and still being on the field at Sydney. And he's a senior player and he's got to stand up. Both of them have to stand up. And it's not a nice thing. But unfortunately, I don't think England as a unit are helping themselves.
When things start going wrong, you see the team fracturing, don't you? You see little groups appearing. Do you see that possibility? Do you see this team starting to fracture at all anytime soon?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think this is a better team than what, I think this is a not a better group than what we had in 2006-07. I'm only going off experience here. I don't know what happened at other times. I think there's a group of players that they're good mates around them. In 6-7, we had all our families there, so we never really got a chance to get around each other. So there were little fractions. I don't see this being too. I think the key components on this lot, the likes of Root, Stokes, Butler, Broad, Anderson, them two have been there before. Well, they've all been there before. And I think they've seen what's happened in the past and hopefully that they'll, you know, they'll be able to identify what the key times are to make sure the unit sticks together. I don't see that yet. Not quite yet. We haven't heard from the coach too much. We heard assistant coach Graham Thorpe yesterday. If England do lose badly in this game, there'll be a huge amount of pressure on the coach because of, I criticised what he said in the last game. Yeah, we'll come back, the old cliche of learning. Saying it's a long series, well, you lose the toss or things don't go right. If we get beat here, lose the toss, don't go right. Game could be, the Ashes could be over in Boxing Day's lunchtime. And that's not a long series. And that, for me, is a worrying what is coming out. There'll be huge question marks on the ECB. Have we got the right structure in place to give the players and everybody the best chance to go and perform the best we can to win an Ashes away from home? bear in mind, we've only won it twice away from home in donkey's years. There'll be all these question marks going on that. But at the minute, I think the players look as though they're not, that they are quite together. And fingers crossed to stay that way for a little bit longer.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Harmy, what is going to happen on day three of the second test at Adelaide?
I'd love to say England are going to go and get 350 and be in with a chance of winning the game by bowling Australia out for 180 and chasing, you know, putting them in a position to chase, you know, 280, 300 on the last, in the fourth innings. Maybe it's come a bit short. I've got a funny feeling Australia are going to blow us away tomorrow. I really do. That's the disappointing thing. Where as a pundit and watching, I really don't see where England come back from this. I think, as much as I think the team are still, as a unit, I just think our natural ability is in headspace at this minute in time is in such a place where if Australia get, like in Brisbane, they get a wicket or two wickets in the first 40 minutes, I don't see England getting out of this. I don't see England getting 473 twice. I really don't. Even though Australia will bat again and get themselves a position to declare when the lights are at their optimum best. Stokes hasn't had a bat for a while. Pope looks horribly out of touch. And, you know, where's Joss Butler's head at? Arteel didn't wag. Arguably, it's weaker. Things are telling me that we might get blown away if Mitchell Starc comes in tomorrow morning and puts the pink ball in the right place, like he has done in the previous 8 pink ball test matches, while he's averaging 18, 46 wickets. Everything's telling me that Australia might just be too good for us tomorrow.
Well, for Harmy to say that, that doesn't bode well. But we shall see. We'll be back, whatever happens. Whether we're looking back at David Milan and Joe Root's double century partnership for the third wicket, or we are looking back at England being bundled out. Will Australia bat again? Probably. Look, we'll have to wait and see. A little bit of a downbeat show, it must be said. Can't lie. That was a bit of a painful day, really, for England. And the promise of a couple more to come, if maybe just in this test match alone. We shall see. Either way, we'll be back. Thanks for listening to the Following On podcast and to Following On, the Ashes in Quest on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.